God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's the ninth day of January, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Tonight's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Come Back to the Blessings. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Deuteronomy 30. Well, if you missed this morning, we did part one, and we continue with our theme of choose you this day whom you will serve, and we took that message from last week and backed up to the sermon Moses gave that inspired Joshua to make that decision to choose whom he would serve, and we basically went back into chapter 28, if you missed it, and talked about choices, how God said you can choose blessings or cursings, and I have set it before you. And so we kind of gave an introduction this morning about how God sets that before us and we get to choose. I was thinking about that and I remembered something I saw maybe earlier last year, but I was watching a little bit of Animal Planet, and it's just cool stuff, you know, to see animals eat other animals and chase stupid people. It's fun. You like it. But I found one, and I gotta be honest. I don't get some of these people. You know, I've never had a desire to own a chimpanzee, tiger, python, things like that. But the one that I saw that really got me was this lady loved poisonous snakes. Yeah, so she had all these poisonous snakes, and I can't remember how many. And the story doesn't end good. When we finally see the story, she's dead. There's blood all over the floor, blood on the walls, blood everywhere. Anybody sick yet? And they come in, and they're like, man, how did she die? She cut her wrist. I mean, it's bad. And they start looking, and she's got all these, what are they called? Fangs, thank you. I can see them, and, going in, and I just lost it. But I knew you'd get it. That's good. Okay. Thanks for the help on the ride. But the fang marks, it's all over this lady. And they start telling, they said, she had these poisonous snakes, several different species, and was going good for several years. And, surprise, one day they got mad, and they decided to bite her. And which you would think, if you owned a snake, at some point it's going to bite you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking, they're wild animals. You probably don't have good communication with them. I doubt if they ever talk back, like, it's a little cold in here. Could you turn the heat up? You don't know what irritates them. You feed them, and one day they turn and say, whoa, I think I'll bite you. And it did. Wouldn't you have the anti-venom? I don't know. Stop and think about it. If I owned something that could kill me with one bite, I would think I'd have it in the fridge or somewhere. And they said, literally, she laid down because she didn't have it and realized, I'm going to die, so I'm just going to die. And I thought about that when I was thinking about choices, and I thought, that's a bad choice. Now, if that helps you at all with our choices, just remember the, okay? We laugh at that. I know you say, preacher, someone died. I don't know, it's sad, but the reality is this. It wasn't an accident. When you really get down to it, she chose this path. Well, she didn't choose to die. Well, yeah, she did. Well, how'd she choose to die? The minute she said, I'll take those two snakes. Well, ma'am, they're poisonous. I know, I like them. And I like them to live in my house, in my front room, and I'm going to feed them and play with them. Well, ma'am, you're going to get the anti-venom? No. Well, then you just chose to die. Now, if you're not putting the dots together, that's as clear as I can make it, okay? The fact of the matter is, what we talked about this morning is the choices we make bring with us blessing or cursing. And God said, I've set before you blessing or cursing. And all of chapter 28, we reviewed it this morning, lay out what he'll do for you if you choose to obey him and serve him and love him. He says, I'll give you this. If not, well, you get all these curses. And so we talked about that. Well, I want to clarify before we get too far. Now, some of you are going to have bad, bad things happen this week. And as I mentioned this morning, I know how this works. Your first thought is, I am cursed. Some of you probably are. But anyways, a curse, let me tell you, it's a spiritual thing, just like I believe a blessing is a spiritual thing. In other words, a blessing is something where God's favors upon somebody. And it's not that everything goes right in their life. It's not that they never have a problem. The Bible tells us that all those that live godly suffer persecution. The book of Peter says trials and tribulations. We're to have patience. You're going to serve God, bad things are going to happen. You say, why? Well, that's part of life. The difference here is, I'm telling you, there's a spiritual blessing that God says, if you decide to serve me, my hand supernaturally will be on your life. And when bad things happen, understand this, you don't have to worry about it. I got everything under control, God says. And I'm going to take the bad, I'm going to turn it into good. And we like that, Romans 8:28, all things work to the good. But understand that context too, for those who are serving God. In other words, those who chose the right path. Then all things work together for the good. Why? That's that blessing in the New Testament that comes from the Old Testament. And he says, that'll be for you. So why do you serve God no matter if it's good or bad? I need his supernatural help. I just believe in the blessings of God. And he'll turn things around. He'll make it work because he is God. And so I choose life. However, if you're going to choose not to serve God, you're going to be around religion and in church but not serve God, understand. God says, I'll curse you. Well, why would a loving God do that? Oh, we're going to talk about that tonight. That's where we're going. Why would a loving God curse me? God says, I'll curse you, and I'll make it so that things happen. He lists them, 53 verses. He lists all these things that will take place, and he says, I'm doing it for a purpose. I'm doing it for a purpose. because I want you on the right path. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's stand as we take a look at it. We read verses 11 on down. I want to remind you, we'll go down to verse 19, then I'm going to back up. I'm sorry, verse 15, and then verse 19, then I'm going to back up a little bit. And for those that missed this morning, we did 11 all the way down to 20. But in verse 15, it says, God speaking through Moses, see, I have set. In other words, I prepared before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In other words, I've given you two paths to follow, and you get to choose. And then he says, in that I command thee this day, verse 16, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word, the reading we did this morning, and the reading that we'll continue to do tonight. Lord, may it ring true in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this could be a long one. Throat's already dry. That's not a good sign. Well, we looked at this, and we began talking about it, and we went through a long part to help you understand choosing the right path and the fact that a lot of our choices do take us exactly where we are at today. But in this, chapter 28 and 29, I want to look at the beginning of chapter 30 here real quick. I want to do a little bit more reading with you. And I like this because as he lists all those verses about the curses, chapter 29, he talks about Israel getting away from God. As a matter of fact, Moses predicts that even though God is blessing them, even though God's going to give them everything, which he does in the new land, he says they're going to turn away. And in that, he says, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to bring judgment against you. He told them that in chapter 28 and 29. But then you come to the beginning of chapter 30, and there's a twist here. And if you begin in verse 1, look what he says. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, that thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and will, look at this, and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And he says, if any of thine be driven out into the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Wow. Did you catch this? I mean, 28, choose life or choose death. Choose blessings, choose cursings. 29, you're going to stray. You're going to go into captivity. You're going to blow it. Chapter 30, but I still want you back. He says, at any point, you turn back to me. At any point, you wake up and you realize that, hey, God blesses. And wait a minute. And the curses are from God. Why? To get us to come back to life. Do you realize that life comes from God? Does he not say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life? Does he not say in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and that more abundantly? Folks, there is no life outside of God. Are you aware of that? Life isn't worth it without God and his path. And anybody outside of that path is choosing evil. They're choosing curses. And you say, well, why would a loving God do that? A loving God allows you to go to literally the depths, to the farthest, as he says there, to the farthest parts of heaven, to the farthest part away from God, anywhere you can imagine, so that you'll realize without God, it's not worth it. And you'll stop and say, I want to come home. And he says, when you do, I'll take you home every time. It's a wonderful picture, God says. In other words, you say, well, I've been on this path like that Ted Williams we talked about this morning. For 17 years, drugs, alcohol, I mean, just messed up. No relationship with his kids, his mom, his family. Hadn't seen mom for like 20 years. And then he got right. Amen. Got on the path. Now, I don't know how that's going to end up. But I tell you what, he got right. And like God all of a sudden flipped a switch a year later. And notice he got right about a year ago. And everything didn't start going good until this year. Okay? So he just started getting on a path saying, I'm just going to start thanking God for every day. I'm just going to start doing whatever I can according to his own words. And then he said, all of a sudden, wow, look what happened. Why? Because God forgives. Now, see, if you and I were God, we'd say, well, man, you've blown it 17 years. I'm not forgiving you. I gave you everything you needed back then, and you just threw it in my face. See, that's how we would be if we were God. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that says, no, if you shall turn. In other words, if you'll repent. The reason for the curses is this. It's not because God hates you. The curses are there because he loves you. Why do you discipline your kids? Because you hate them? Be careful answering that question. Well, some days, preacher. A good parent restricts their child because you love them. I know our young people think that their brain is fully developed. They say that most aren't developed till the age of 25. I question that. I'm thinking more like 40. But anyways, total different study, I'm going to tell you right now. But here's the reality. As much as the world would like to say that our young people can make their own decisions at 12 and 16, we laugh in their face. You said, why? No, they can't. Oh, they can make some decisions. They can't make all their own decisions. Why? They're brain dead. If you have kids, you know this is true. They can do some things pretty good, and other things you're like, you're kidding. And so as a good parent, you restrict them. You say, well, they're adults now. No, they're not. they know everything. No, they don't. So you put boundaries in their life. Now, wait. A good parent puts boundaries in your children's life because you know if you let them go on their own, they'll hurt themselves. They'll destroy their life. On their own, they'll make dumb decisions that will hurt them, for a lot of them, and have scars for the rest of their lives. But good parents say no. Now once again, that's a broad statement. Should children ever be able to make decisions? Well, of course. Within boundaries, you help them to make their own decisions in a different area. You give them more responsibility. Of course, there's times for that. But here's the reality. A parent that says, man, do whatever you want, no control. You ever run into a kid that had no boundaries in their life? I'm going to help you with that. They're not fun to be around when they're young. And they're not fun to be around when they're older. They have attitudes. They're arrogant. And it blows my mind. It really does. That they're this uneducated individual who can't stand authority thinks they're everything. You're saying, how does it get that way? Well, someone, are you ready? Someone didn't love them. Oh, that's not true. Parents love, no, let me help you. See, real love restricts. Real love restricts. Okay? You say, what do you mean? Well, real love puts boundaries because I love. For instance, when the kids were young, hey, you guys can play anywhere you're out, but when you're in front yard, you can't go in the street. Why? Well, because we love you. Now, bad parents, they send them out in the front yard and don't watch them. Okay? You ever been driving down the road and 5-year-old's out in the middle of the road and you look around, there's no parent, you know? And you're like, you got to be kidding me. And I said, what kind of parent would do that? I believe my kids should have freedom. No, you have a problem. I realize it's different if they ran out of the house, you didn't see them. Okay, but honestly, in this generation, I've seen a lot more where kids are just playing outside. There's no supervision at all. And the mom and dad think we're teaching them right. No, you're not, folks. Now, that's a simple area. But guess what? On our own, we make dumb mistakes. You know, why sometimes parents say, kids, you can't have a cell phone. I know that's surprising to you young people. I know at this generation, you think it's an inherited right to have a cell phone. I mean, when you're born, you know, I don't know what age, but maybe 10, 12. Yeah, I was asking someone, trying to get my nieces and nephews something. And I was at the store at Walmart, couldn't get a hold of anybody, so I started asking strangers. You know, Miss Benford, hey, Miss Benford, you got any girls? I was just asking people, anybody have girls about 10, 12 years old? And sure enough, a couple ladies come by, they go, yeah, we got girls. I go, great, what do you get them for Christmas? And one goes, well, mine wants a cell phone. I go, no, really, what do you get them for Christmas? She goes, well, there's an iPod. No, let's come down about 20 notches. What do you get them for Christmas? I'm like, you seriously? Oh, yeah, iPods, phones. Now, I don't care if you have that or not. I'm just going to tell you, it's not an inherent right. I mean, your parents don't owe it to you because everyone else has one. Ooh. You say, why? Well, some parents say no because they know you. And they know you're going to be irresponsible. And you're going to spend all night on it. You're not going to get your homework done. You're not going to study. I mean, you see, things like that. Now, folks, that parent, now listen, stay with me. That parent doesn't hate you. They love you. Now, if we, as earthly children, the Bible says, know how to give good gifts unto our children, don't you think our Heavenly Father knows even better? And in that realm, can't you parallel and say, don't you think that when God set up the curses and took 14 verses to say, blessing, 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 follow this, that's obvious, and about 53 to say, now don't do this because you'll be cursed in all these ways. You don't think he was doing it to say, I'm telling you this because I love you. And I'm telling you all in detail what will happen to you, because if you go down this path, it's not going to be good. It's going to be pain. And then he says, but if you go, now if I was God, once again, if you go, bye-bye. Good luck. And don't come back. That's earthly parents. But God goes, You go 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and all of a sudden you wake up, a light comes on, you repent. God goes, come on back. Come on back. That's a wonderful God. And he says, now listen, here's the thing. I can't stop all the consequences. Oh, God can. But all the consequences that you produce for all those years, there's going to be some, well, there's going to be some retribution for that. However, you can start planning new, as we talked about this morning, and build upon it. So that's the blessing and cursing. Now, I want to give you some practical applications to this real quick this evening. We started it this morning. I'll remind you of that one we went over this morning, just for those that weren't here. But number one, we talked from these passages and from this lesson, we learned this. Man's earthly destiny is somewhat in his own hands. And we explained that. It really is. Now, I say somewhat because, once again, I want to explain. In America, we have way more opportunities than a lot of other people do to make choices. Okay? So it is somewhat in our hand, probably more often in our hands than someone who lives in another country. By the way, you ought to praise God you live in America. Now, if you don't like your job, go get another one. I mean, honestly, you can. I mean, that's America. In some countries, you don't like your job, tough. You either work that or you don't have one. Okay? There's so many things that can change and choices you can make every day. Okay, here in America, we don't get other places. So when I say somewhat, it's because you got to use the principle universally. But I want to remind you that most of us, the reason we're at where we're at today is not because God is mean, not because God hates us, but to remind you from this morning is we made choices like the snake lady, okay, and it developed to where we're at today. So that was point number one. Point number two, though, the blessings upon a man will rest upon everything and everyone around him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, and if you look at verse 19 again, as Moses is given his final call to the people, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, that I have set before you life and death. In other words, I want everyone to know, all 1.5 million of you, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, it's your choice. He says, heaven and earth's going to record it. And then he says this, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou, look at this, and thy seed may live. Besides the blessings and cursings we talked about this morning, and if that doesn't convince you to serve God, can I give you another reason? You will affect everyone around you. Okay? Every choice you make is like a domino effect. You say, no, I'm not married, I'm just a teenager. Every choice you make is a domino effect. It affects upline and downline. It is the way that it is. You see, it's the Word of God. Let me take you a couple places. Go with me to Genesis chapter 30 real quick. Genesis 30 will reveal this. Go back, first book of the Bible. If you can't find that, we need to talk afterwards. Probably some issues there. In Genesis chapter 30, we've got the story of Jacob finding Rachel and getting married. You might remember that. Wonderful story. So Jacob finds Rachel, marries her. But if you remember the story, you know, Laban kind of tricks him and gives him Leah at first. He ends up having two wives. That's not a good thing, in case you're wondering. Okay, but that's kind of how the story develops. Well, then he starts working for Laban in order to work off these years for the wives that he has. And so that's kind of the background story. Look at Genesis chapter 30. I wrote down, I think it's verse 27. And verse 26 says, give me my wives and children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. In other words, he finally said, you know, we've been around mom and dad long enough. You know, and he's had this control over me, tells me what to do. I'm a man now. I got a family. I like to branch out on my own and kind of get out of here. He says, give me what you owe me. I want to go. For thou knowest my service, which I've done thee. And by the way, he served him properly. Jacob did exactly what he should have done. But now look at verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Wow. Smart man here. What are you saying? Laban was not an idiot. He watched as his flocks grew and grew. Every time he changed Jacob's wages, whatever he changed it to. I mean, whatever he said, okay, you get all the brown cattle. All of a sudden, there are a lot more brown cattle coming out. Okay, no, now you get all the white cattle. There's more white cattle. Okay, now you get all the speckled cattle. There's hardly any of them. All of a sudden, they all came out speckled. And at first, he's thinking, you're doing something, man. You're playing with the water. But finally, it clicked in. By this time, he said, oh, you know, I learned something. God blesses you. You ever been around people that God just blesses? I like to hang around those people. Why? Blessings seem to bounce off them. I'm serious. If they're involved in something, you want to get involved in it. Blessed people, are you ready? Blessed people. Cursed people? Cursed people. I cannot give name, but I've been around cursed people. How do you know? It hurts every time. I mean, it's like the cloud. And just when you think something's going to go good, it's like, you say, what do? Run. Yeah, really, I love them, but I spend very little time. You say, why? I don't want them rubbing off. You know who I like to stay around? I like to hang around people that God is blessing in a supernatural way, because I've learned the same thing. When you're around the right people, even if I don't deserve it, I get extra blessings because I'm smart enough to hang around good people. Think about that one for a minute. Some of you think you're really blessed. I got some good news and bad news. Some of you guys think, man, I'm a blessed man. Yeah, you are, but it's because your wife. You'd be pretty smart to pick that up real quick and never let her go. And ladies, some of that's reverse. You think you're a real good catch and you're really neat. No. You say, why are things going good? Your husband. And some of you want to take a step further? Your kids. Some of you have godly kids. You better hang on to them. Better be nice to them. Say why? You want God's blessings to fall on you. Can we keep them? As long as you can. Keep them as long as you can. Now, think about this. It's not the only one. If you go to Genesis 39, there's a similar story. You remember Joseph with Potiphar? What did the Bible say? It's like verse 4 or 5. Potiphar said, and he was blessed because of what? Joseph was in the house. Even he recognized, wait a minute, this isn't me. I mean, I've always had a good business, but man, this thing is like, since this kid came in, wow. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, it's a fact of life. God promised it back in Deuteronomy, follows through with it, even into the New Testament. Listen, if you decide to follow God and keep his commandments and live for him, are you ready? Not only will you be blessed, but everybody around you gets the blessings. A lot of Central Baptist Church's blessings are because of different individuals at Central Baptist Church. If you want to know why, though, the Spirit's good and things are going great, it's not because everybody's on board. Why does God bless? Because there are certain people that said, I'm going to love God. I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to serve him. And the fact of the matter is, you want those people around. You want them around. Why? It makes the whole church better. It really does. When you don't have people like that in the church, you feel it, you see it. You may not be able to put your finger on it, but you're like, boy, it's just different. Listen, folks, I want to challenge you with everything inside of you. If you won't serve God for the blessings, serve God because it'll affect everybody around you. And it does. Number three, everything good comes from God. I love James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, now look at this, cometh from above. I like that. And then he says this, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom, now look at this, is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What do you mean? God is so righteous. Now you and I, we have biases, okay? Let me help you. We all have biases. So please don't sit there and say, preacher, I have no bias. I'm a neutral judge. No, you're not. You're not. I mean, you're going to favor, honest, I'm going to favor Brenda. It's that way. I mean, if there's a cooking contest and she makes something and you make something, you say, preacher, choose. I don't have to go home with you. You would lie. I can't answer that right now. But all I'm saying is she's going to win. You say, well, why would you do that? Well, let's just be honest. Unless she gives me permission, I'm going to show a bias there. You say, why? It's just in you. I mean, we have bias towards our families, things like that. I mean, that's a natural thing. We try not to. We try to be neutral, but I mean, it's there for all of us. Don't look at me funny. You do the same thing, okay? I know that because anytime there's a conflict, it's funny how everybody thinks level until it's their family. But as soon as we have a problem with your kid, wait a minute, preacher. I mean, you know what the decision ought to be when it's not your kid, but as soon as your kid's involved, wait a minute. It's funny how people change. Now, I know that. We know how that works. You know, there's a bias. You understand there's none with God? Did you catch that? And we understand that here. And although we try to fight that, the reality is we're all human. But God says there is no variableness with me or shadow of turning. What are you saying? Anybody, everybody who says, I'll keep your commandments. I'll choose right. I'll serve you. I'll go on the right path to the best of my ability. God says, I'll give you all the blessings I'll give anybody else. Now, I want you to think in your mind, somebody, don't mention their name, don't look at them, but think in your mind, somebody you know that is blessed of God. So just think for a minute. Pick someone you feel there's just a God's hands upon them. God's favor is on them. It's like, it just seems like whenever they do something, it turns out good for them. Okay? I want you to think about that. So just kind of get their name, get their visual in your head for just a second. Okay, so you got that person in your head. You all ready? can be you. Oh, no, no, I don't think you understand, preacher. No, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I was thinking of Brother Lynn. No, no, probably Miss Jenny. I was thinking of Miss Jenny. You know, you don't know, that can't be me. Really? Why not? There's no variableness nor turning. What are you saying? Well, folks, a righteous God who knows everything plays by the same rules and never changes them. And at any time someone repents, anytime somebody turns back, anytime someone says, I choose to obey this book, I choose to serve God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God says, okay, you get the same blessings. Wow. That's phenomenal to me. And what's phenomenal is it begins the day that you get serious with God. It begins the day you say, I'm going to choose that path and stay on that path. That's when it begins. You see, even if I made that choice today, whatever person I had in my mind, I could have God's hand upon me like God's hands upon them. According to this book, yeah. Why? Because every good gift coming from above. And by the way, you might want to think about that. All the best stuff comes from God. When I was growing up, I always knew who gave and who didn't. Okay? If I ever wanted something, you never asked Dad. I'm 45 now. You can tell these secrets. He knows. You never went to Dad. You know what Dad's standard response was? Anybody know? Oh, yeah. I mean, you could be walking up to him. No! I didn't ask anything. Just checking. Standard response from Mom. Know what it was? Always yes. You deserve another ice cream cone. I love you. This is the ice cream truck. Who wants ice cream? Dad, you don't need ice cream. You guys haven't been good enough for ice cream. You're right, Dad. Thanks, Dad. So you never, if you had something going on at school and needed money, you never, Dad, I need $5. Oh, no. You go, Mom, I need $5. Mom goes, I'll get it from Dad. We had a whole racket going, a whole sub program going there. And we'd send the right person, whoever's good with Mom that week. Yeah, I need something, go ask Mom. You know, it worked great, you know, until they caught on. But anyways, that's the same at work. I mean, come on, you have nice bosses, you have mean bosses. You want a day off? You know who to ask. Oh, I was going to ask so-and-so, but they're on the phone. Hey, do you mind if I take half a day off? No, I don't care. Sure, go ahead. Thanks. If you'll just tell them, I'd appreciate it. You know what you're doing. Why? You're going to the nice guy. You say, why? Now, let me help with that. That's called wisdom. Okay? That's not foolishness. That's called wisdom. Now, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect, complete gift, that was going to satisfy last. Where does it come from? Anybody know? Well, above. Well, it'd be God, right? Heaven, God, above. Okay, so if I really want something that's good and perfect and complete, going to last, something I'm really going to enjoy, where do I go? I go to God. Well, now, wait a minute. You go to your boss, you need a day off, and you just called him a name. He picked up your e-bell of you chewing him out. And you go, hey, I like the half day off. Hey, drop dead. But you gave Sally off. I like Sally. I don't like you. You know, oh, yeah. Now, the reality is this. Seriously. You know, I knew I'm not going to go to Mom. I mean, Mom tells me to take out the trash. I say, no, you do it. Oh, I need $5. Well, even as nice as Mom was, I mean, she wasn't dumb. You know, that's not happening. So what you did is you made sure you were right with them. You made sure you were smiling. You made sure you picked up your toys. You made sure everything was good. Well, then you know you get the blessing. Now, is everybody connecting the dots? We are people that love to ask things from God. Who can give them? And he's the right person to ask. But guess what? Those blessings come for those who have already chosen that they're serving God no matter what. Now, here's how it doesn't work. God just happens to be a little smarter than, just a tad bit smarter than us. He knows when you're going to live a wicked, evil life and come to church on Sunday, say a quick prayer, oh, Lord, I've been bad. Please provide all these things that I need. I'll serve you. I really will. And then we go on our way. You think God doesn't catch on to that? It's like God's going, gee, man, he tricked me. Woo. Man, I gave him all these blessings. Who knew he wasn't going to serve? But see, that's what we do. You don't understand. See, can I help you with this choice? I'm not asking you to just choose to serve God for just 2011. This is a life choice. Each year it's good to renew it, good to remember. But I'm just going to honestly, if in your heart You decide that, hey, I'm just going to try to trick God. I'm going to try to trick everybody around me. I'll just try to conform but not really mean it in my heart. Go back and do the reading in Deuteronomy 30. It was a heart decision, not just an outward decision. And if you choose not to, let me help you. Young people, you don't have to be a Baptist. You do not have to serve God. You don't even have to go to church when you become 18 and get out on your own. You can choose whatever life you want. Hey, you want to live together? Have a blast. You want to be immoral? All these sexual relationships? Oh, we're not supposed to say that in church, even though we hear it 100 times on TV. But okay. You want to do that? Go have a blast. Seriously. You can do whatever you want. You can. You live in America. But 18, can't you do what you want? What is it? 21 you can drink? Is that it? Yeah, you knew it was a trap, right? Yeah. It's a law. You all know it. 21 you can drink? Drink. I'm seriously. Do whatever you want. No one's going to stop you, per se. Now, they're holding you back now, but they are. But understand this. If you choose that, do not expect God to guard your footprints, to help you one bit of the way. And understanding, because he's God, are you ready? He has to fight against you. He has to. So if that's the choice you want, God says, fine. I will not make you be a Christian. I will not force you to live for me. As a matter of fact, can I help you real quick? True devotion is only true when you choose it. True devotion is only true when you choose it. Can I tell you why I think God didn't make puppets out of us? Because he loved us so much, he wanted us to love him back from our heart. And if he designed inside of us where it was a forced thing, well, it's really not love, is it? It's really not love if you're forced. The fact of the matter is, I like the fact that my wife chose me. And I chose her. It was a choice. It wasn't one of those arranged weddings. That would be tough. Have you ever thought about that? You're getting married at 21. I don't know him. That's nice. You'll get to know him. What, is it going to be a blast of a marriage? How would you like for the rest of your life knowing, I married Bob because my dad said I had to. Why don't you just say no? It's something about a shotgun. Yeah, it was really really difficult to say no. I mean, I can't imagine living in those day and age and wondering, I wonder if she really loves me. I mean, it was kind of an arranged thing. Isn't it nice to know that somebody said, will you? They said, yes, I will. And it was your own free will. Doesn't that change things? You don't think God wants the same devotion back? That's what I tell young people. You don't have to do it. We're not here because we hate you and tell you to live by these strict standards. We want you to have life and that more abundantly. And if you don't want it, take the other road. But could you please show me one time it's worked? No, I don't want to be mean, but your great wisdom at 13, could you please show me? Well, let's go up to 16. All you world travelers at 16 that have read all the books in the world, could you please tell me how you're so smart and your way works? You're being sarcastic. You're right. I'm 45. I can be sarcastic. Because I really get irritated with somebody your age thinking you know it when you don't. And you got all these examples showing you a different way. So really, you can choose it and we're still going to love you. But there's probably not going to be a lot of sympathy there. I'm not trying to be mean. But if you choose a path, you take the consequences that come with it. But today I give you something different. I give you life. You say, well, if they choose a path, preacher, that's mean. Well, a lot have. Then we go back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. At any point you decide to come back, if you're awake enough to come back, and you get the opportunity to come back, I got some pretty good news. God will take you. And he'll give you every good gift because he's a good gift giver. I'm convinced the world has nothing to offer us. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Anybody that's lived the world should know that. Really, drugs, alcohol, immorality, gambling, all this stuff. What does the world have to offer us? What are they giving us at last? But God says, I'll give it all to you. I'll give it all to you. Folks, I wonder with everything inside of me, I wish we could go back to that day. And whether it's Joshua or Moses standing on the hill, the leaders are there, the people are there. He lays out blessings, cursings. This is what God will do for you. This is how God will provide. And then he stops and says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And if it seems evil, and I'll tell you something, if it seems evil for you to be a Baptist, to be a Christian, to serve God, pick a different religion. Go a different route. If it's that evil, choose something different. If it's that evil to follow God and live moral and live right, then don't do it. If you think it's evil, pick a different route. But understand this, when you do, all the curses in chapter 28, all the curses in chapter 29 will follow you until the day that you change. And on the day you change, you can start getting every good gift and God will start blessing and he'll accept you. So for the teens, I say, why start off on a path you know is going to end in destruction? For the adults that weren't wise enough to make that choice, I say, why stay on that path? Why not choose tonight, as we said last week? Today's the day. Why? Because every man gets to somewhat choose his own destiny. And every choice that every man makes does affect those that are around him. And every good gift comes only from God. And God says, choose life, choose health, and I'll give it to you. Choose other, and I'll let you have that too. But when it all comes down to an end, and we stand before God, we will have to admit this. I chose it. I chose it. And for that, I hope you said, I chose life. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. There are those that see Christianity as binding. There are those I know as young people, sometimes even as adults, who are so corrupted by the things of this world and false philosophy that they see this lifestyle as confining them, as hurting them, keeping them from what they think is good for them. Lord, this is not new. We saw the same situation with the whole nation of Israel. After all you'd given them, provided for them, all the battles you won, the houses you gave, the vineyards you gave, all that you did, still they turned from you. And they chose other gods and they went a different way and they ran into the curses. But then one day they woke up and they realized, wait a minute, we had it better with the one true God. And when they repented, praise the Lord, you accepted them back. But Lord, the key as we've looked at this is the fact that we get to make some choices. And Lord, I pray that this year would be a year that we recognize more than ever the importance of the choices that we make and that we make good choices. That Lord, more people choose life than they choose death. They choose to keep your commandments, your judgments, to love you as it clearly detailed here in Deuteronomy 30. And that by doing that, Lord, you would bless them with every good gift and every perfect gift that cometh from above. Lord, for those that are on that track, may we recommit to staying there. Some, Lord, need to come and really for the first time make a decision to follow you. Maybe they've accepted you, Lord, but they've never really made a strong decision to truly follow you. Maybe this be the day they choose life. Lord, I pray that you take the words in a miraculous way. Lord, I've not been sufficient enough to explain it, but I know that you, Lord, can take your word and you can illuminate the minds of those that are here, and I ask that you do that. That the message would be clear enough for them to understand, Lord, the importance of serving you. And they'd make a choice. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's spoken to you in some way, and maybe if you haven't started the year off that way and you want to make a decision to say, I want to choose life. I want to get either back on the right path, or maybe I'm on the path. I want to stay there. All I know is as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what is right. I challenge you to come. We won't be long tonight. We've spoken on this for the last couple of weeks. But we wanted to start the year out strong. I wanted you to understand the basis of what we're talking about through all the messages about the choices we're going to make. And it begins with make sure you've accepted Christ your Savior and you've chosen to really serve him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. So page 534, cleanse me, O Lord. If you need to come spend some time with him, do so on the first verse as we won't be long.
Search me.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.